Hey, thanks for listening to this Joy podcast. If you like what we do and you listen to our podcast on a regular basis, it's time to put your money where your ears are. It's Radiothon. Go to joy.org.au, become a member or donate and keep us out loud and proud so we can make more of the stuff you like.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy live from Etihad Stadium, where the Saints and Swans are going head-to-head for the annual AFL Pride Match. You're on Joy 94.9, sponsored by the AFL.
It's Beck. I'm here with Fee. We are live from the Saints and Swans Pride game. Fee, should we do a score check?
Well, I don't know. I think the Sydney Swans supporters might want you to do that, but maybe the Saints don't.
Yeah, well, we're in the fourth quarter and the Swans are 17 goals, 709 to the Saints, 4-11-35, but money from every goal is a donation going to the Pride Cup.
So look at that's a good thing.
So we're just supporting goals, really, aren't we?
Although that could be two games in one day with a 100-point margin.
Hashtag football.
Hashtag unbalanced football.
Correct. We have been having a big night tonight. We've had some wonderful guests, and these two are no exception. We have Megan and Cara from Parents of Gender Diverse Children. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Don't look so scared. I feel like they're scared.
We're actually quite nice people.
We are actually
not wine being drank yet.
Now, talk to us, Parents of Gender Diverse Children. Who are you? What do you do?
So we are an organisation, a not-for-profit organisation that was founded in 2016, and we do a lot of work. So one of the main things we do is support trans and gender diverse families. That's what we call direct support. With doing that, we link them in with resources, support, anything that's pretty much that they need at the time. We also have monthly catch-ups so that our families can meet up and catch up. The other things we do is education and training in the public. So we work with schools, kindergartens, early learning centres, and pretty much anywhere we can get.
And how do you both find your way into this world?
So to be a person who volunteers for Parents of Gender Diverse Children, you have to have a trans kid or a gender diverse kid. So I myself have my daughter Evie, who's 13, and Cara has Stevie.
I have Stevie, who's actually 4. And so that's how I found my way into the organisation, by going, oh, okay, this is interesting. I need to sort of find my people, find some support and some information. And that ended me up on Megan's sort of doorstep.
Because I know, Megan, you started the organisation, but Cara, was it something that you were looking for when your child was coming out, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I was an interesting one because my child sort of was just always out telling the same story. So from the day dot, as soon as he could speak. So once I sort of twigged and went, oh yeah, I think this is actually a thing, I went and looked for some support. And there's not a lot out there. Once you get into the social media space, there's certainly a few things open up, and that's actually how I ended up meeting Megan and becoming part of the organisation.
And how do you support your child going through that process at such a young age?
It's really interesting. I think I've been really lucky in that I had an understanding and a basic knowledge that could be a thing, that a small child could possibly identify with the opposite gender. And so once we sort of figured out that was the case, it was really just a matter of just allowing that and supporting that and just going with it and seeing what happened. And as soon as we did that, we had what went from being a very introverted, kind of sort of stressy, clingy child to the next day walking up to other kids in the playground going, hey, I'm Stevie and I'm a boy, do you want to play with me? And it's just been an absolute easy, smooth ride for us, and it's not always for everybody, but for me it's certainly been a really great sort of experience.
So that was actually preschool age. How do we get school communities educated and supportive as well?
Yeah, well, that's our that's our challenge. We certainly, in the safe school space, that has been a challenge, holding that space for those kids with that resource. But that's certainly where PGDC can help out as well, if parents and schools need some information too. So
yeah,
Megan might be able to answer
that. It's definitely a difficult space to be in, and my experience was quite different to Cara's experience. We sort of held our kid back for about 5 years and wouldn't accept what was happening. So, you know, my child went from being this happy kid who was pretty vibrant and happy to tell, you know, that she was different, to then being, like, really stomped down and like, no, you need to learn how to be a boy and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, 5 years later, at 9 years old, she was a very different kid, and she was very upset, and even started talking about suicide and stuff like that. So that's when myself and my ex-husband sort of went, oh, we need to get on board and figure out what's going on and get some actual information about this. So we did, but we actually were at a religious school, so that sort of went really shitty for us.
Yeah, imagine.
So, yeah, it didn't go down too well. She ended up with chaplaincy counselling behind our backs, and it was a pretty disastrous time. But she changed schools and thrived, and is now a happy 13-year-old who goes to an excellent safe school, where she's absolutely embraced for who she is, and she does a lot. Like, you know, she's a really cool kid.
And what about in a football community? There's trans kids that would play football. How does that outplay itself?
Look, under the age of 12 years old, there's sort of not a lot of...
I suppose boys and girls kind of play in teams together.
They actually do.
Yeah, they actually do. So
yeah, they play really well. You know, kids just want to go and just play a game. Like, to our children, they're no different to their peers, and they don't really care. I know a lot of trans kids who play all types of sports, and they just want to go and play the sport, and that's as simple as that.
I think the important thing for them is turning up to a night like tonight and seeing everybody embrace, you know, like our kids are up in the stands waving the flags, you know, and so they know that when it comes for them to be involved in sport, that there's a community that will embrace them.
It was actually quite funny. Cara's and my child went and waved one of the trans flags, and then Cara got a phone call saying, I just seen a kid waving a trans flag. Clearly that's one of yours.
Brilliant.
Well, that's what we want to hear, and great to see what you're doing, and thanks so much for being part of the AFL Pride Game broadcast.
No worries. Thanks for
you're
having
us. You're on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.